The Jack Del Rio Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. It's a rainy Tuesday night here in North Florida. We're at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. And the coach joins us for some time. You got practice tonight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, unless there's lightning in the area.
Well, if there is, we'll just wait until it subsides and then we'll go out.
We're going to go out. Yeah, it is shortened off season. You've got to get a lot done. Good evening. How are you tonight?
Did you say shortened golf season?
No, shortened off season.
Okay.
Did it roll?
That sounded like golf, didn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it was a lengthened golf season.
Can we play it back?
Yeah, no.
I think you said golf.
It was a longer golf season. I wouldn't say shorter.
Indeed.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
2 days until you put your team on the field for the first preseason game. And let's just go back to the scrimmage on Saturday night here at the stadium. Good crowd on hand.
Great crowd.
Nice and lively. Anxious to see their football team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the final tally
over
was.
Over 15 grand.
Yeah, I mean, easily. It looked like, heck, the ball was, I mean, it was fairly full. I was very pleased to see that.
So we always talk about this first preseason game as guys getting a chance to hit someone else. Is that the case this year? I mean, you haven't been in camp all that long.
Yeah, it's what we typically do. You know, we report 15 days prior to the first game. What makes it a little unusual is we had about 15 guys that were not able to participate until just recently.
Right.
So that makes it a little different. But, yeah, we're excited to get the thing rolling. Once you start playing the preseason games, they tend to go by pretty quickly. And then here you are, you know, beginning the season. Next thing you know, it'll be September 11th, and we'll be facing off against the Titans.
All right, so let's cover a couple of things. Today I think you announced that David's going to make the trip but not likely to play. So Blaine Gabbert would be the starter for you on Thursday.
I'm just
night.
Trying to forecast to the best of my abilities.
Sure.
You know, we're a few days out, you know, unless he has a dramatic turnaround. We're not going to take him without any practice leading into the game and just throw him into the lineup coming off, you know, little back spasms that he had this past week.
Mercedes doesn't play, but probably travels. Maurice doesn't travel and obviously isn't playing.
Correct, and Aaron Campman.
And Aaron Campman as well. What about Evan? How's he in his back?
That's a question mark, and we'll see how he does. You know, there's talk of him not being able to make it out tonight, and that's about less than an hour away. And if he's not out there on the field tonight, not practicing, then he's another guy that, you know, while we're sitting here at 90 with enough bodies.
Yeah, there's no reason to push
There's really no reason to push a guy that we know can play. And so we'll err on the side of caution on this one and get the guys that are healthy and are able to play some extra time.
All right, phone number this evening if you'd like to talk to the coach, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Jaguars at Patriots. That's Thursday night, 4:30 for you in Jacksonville for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. 6:30, we'll pick up all of you around the network for the set of the pregame show. 7:30, kickoff. Of course, there's the Aetna Big Halftime Show and the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, followed by the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. So a full evening of football in our first night back on the air live with action from New England. So what are you going to talk about tonight?
Whatever you would like.
Well, you know we're going to get calls about the quarterback.
Okay,
so
we'll talk about
that. So let's talk about the quarterback right out of the gate.
You're not going to wait for calls?
No, let's get it out of the way.
All right, fire away.
Let's have the conversation about young man. Here's a guy who is going to get a great opportunity to take the field, Gillette Stadium, on Thursday night. Just a preseason game. What do you expect from him? I mean, we're talking about a guy who didn't get an offseason in, but he's a bright guy, obviously has some talent. So you send him out on the field, and you expect what from a rookie quarterback making his first start?
Expect him to play well.
Okay.
Expect him to take charge of the offense, make the right reads, make good decisions, deliver the ball on time, lead our offense down the field, score points. And how much of that he's able to accomplish, we'll review, you know, after we get done watching it. But, you know, listen, he's here because we think he's a good football player, and he's working hard. He's got a lot to learn, and it is, you know, we are giving him a crash course. It's a little different for all the rookies, but in particular for somebody playing the quarterback position, and because there's so much detail involved in it. But he is a fast study, and, you know, he's doing a nice job, and he's getting extra reps. I mean, you know, if David were healthy, then, you know, he wouldn't get nearly as many reps as he's getting right now. So, you know, we're just trying to make the best out of a situation. You know, you'd like to have David healthy and, you know, develop the kid at a normal rate, but David's not healthy right now, and we're just kind of bringing him along a little, maybe a little quicker.
Just to kind of try and put the offseason in perspective, if he'd had an offseason, how much of the playbook would he have absorbed, would you suggest? And, you know, I mean, just to give people a sense of how much time, you know, how valuable that time is to a rookie quarterback.
Well, it's very valuable for everybody. You know, I mean, we've got linebackers right now that are, you know, they're hearing installation for the first time. Brand new concept to them. You know, they've never done it before. And the complexity of it, and then what offenses do to you, and you add it all up, and it's like a lot to absorb. Well, you can basically, you know, magnify that times X amount, you know, I mean, as for a quarterback, because there's just so much more to it. So, you know, I think, again, we've been here now 10 days, and each and every day, you know, you look at him, he'll make a mistake, but he doesn't make the same mistake. And so some of the things that he's making mistakes on, you know, he's learning from and then adjusting and going forward. And that's what's exciting, because when you don't go back and continue to make the same mistake, then you show that you are going to be able to get it, and hopefully you get it fairly quickly. So he's going to get a crash course Thursday night against, you know, now the Patriots aren't going to be full season, mid-season form. But they've done some things over the years to cause some of the better quarterbacks in the league a little confusion, so it ought to be fun.
Well, and boy, they stack their defensive line. 21 players on the defensive line. I mean, that's – what is that? That's 25% roughly of their roster, 13 defensive tackles. They've brought in guys that we know. Albert Hainsworth is a guy that people around here know, and they signed Sean Ellis from the Jets. I mean, they're grabbing everybody they can off. Andre Carter signed. Mark Anderson, the former Alabama product. I mean, they're just – throwing them in left and right. So chances are we're going to see some different formations from those guys on.
Chances are you're going to see some teams waiting around when they have to make cutdowns to take a few of the cast-offs because, you know, when you're assembling that many guys, you can only keep so many on an active roster. So somebody's going to go. But for us and for this game, certainly, you know, we'll see who's been practicing and who's healthy and who's going to get the first crack at us, and obviously they're loaded with talent.
How about a thought on Luke McCown and the way that he performed on Saturday night in the scrimmage and what you expect from him on Thursday night as well?
Well, Luke's been good, and he's had a good camp. I thought that he forced the one ball in the scrimmage when we got down in the red area, and he could not wait to hit that little strike pass. And
the one that Michael Hamlin stepped in front of?
Yeah, that one. And he's got to read coverage there, not make that mistake. Other than that, I thought he really did a nice job. So he's been a real positive influence in the quarterback room. And he takes on the role a little bit like a coach. I mean, he is so into it, so well prepared, and very diligent in the way he attacks things. And so he's, you know, it's been good for Blaine to see that type of approach in the quarterback room.
Final thought from me on the quarterbacks before we take our break. You bring Todd Bauman back today. Obviously, you need another body up there in New England. And
did you hear what I said earlier?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, we had to go back to the tractor.
Yeah, and pull him off of it. I'm sure he was eager to get back here.
He was. I've not had a chance to speak with him yet. Gene spoke with him last night. And he should be getting his pads and everything together right now.
He's a great guy. I mean, he's another kind of guy that Blaine can learn from while he's around.
Well, he is a great guy. And he's had a nice career in the league because he's been a good player, but more so a good man and a smart man and a guy that's able to come in and adapt. He's really at one time was an elite athlete, tremendous athlete. And so as he's, added some years, he's maybe lost a little bit of some of that athleticism, but still remains athletic enough, a lot more athletic than most, and a great guy.
Go back to the Kansas City game last year and the way that he played coming in on what, Wednesday? Would not have been a full-day practice on Wednesday.
You know what? He played so much better than the rest of the team. If we had just played a little bit better that day, he did his part, really gave us a chance.
All right, folks. We take our first break of the evening. More with the head coach, Jack Del Rio. After this quick timeout, you're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach, Jack Del Rio. Practice this evening, it is closed to the general public, but you'll be headed out that way. Should be a nice evening. I'm looking temperature about 80 degrees, and talking light rain. No big deal. By the way, kickoff on Thursday night is supposed to be in the low 60s up in New England, so a nice respite from the heat and humidity around here.
It will be nice.
Let's talk about some competition at the offensive line and defensive line positions, because I know that's an area you focus on. Jason Spitz, young man from the Packers and Louisville and Bowles, a guy that came
started,
in a couple of
started
weeks
started at Bowles with
Coach Rogers.
Corky Rogers, that's right.
And then was part of those Packer teams the last couple of years have been pretty darn good. He comes in and he's battling with Will Rackley at left guard, it would appear. Does he have a leg up because of his experience?
Well, first of all, let me just say that he's battling Will Rackley at left guard and Uche Nwankwo at right guard.
And so he's pushing both guys.
He is. And we're going to play. We feel like all three of them can play. And we're going to play the best two out of those three. And Brad's having a good camp and came in good shape and good spirits and all those things. So, you know, we're looking for that combination inside, and we feel like we got four guys there to get three spots and have a good solid backup behind them. So we'll let that play out. That'll be interesting to watch.
Is Spitz a guy who can play center as well?
I mean,
he's got to be in the mix there then to be one of your swing guys, because you need one of them to play center, don't you?
Yes, yes. In fact, all four of those guys can play guard and center.
Really?
All four of them.
Okay.
So Brad's guard days are pretty much behind him.
Sure.
But Rackley can play center. Uche can play center. And Spitz can play center. In fact, Spitz will be the next guy in this ball game. He will play some center.
Okay.
And we'll take Brad out fairly early in this ball game.
You've had some positive things to say about Rackley, if I recall, over the first 10 days of camp. What impresses you the most about him?
Probably the most, aside from the fact that size-wise and strength-wise, he looks like he belongs. But I love his serious nature. I mean, there's no BS to him. He's just basically here on a mission, you know, and serious face, serious approach, businesslike, doesn't say a lot, just goes about his business and is doing a nice job. So, he has corrected himself from some of the things that Andy Heck has pointed out, and rarely is he, you know, falling victim to the same type of defensive line stunt or game or whatever it is that's going on. You just see him learning, you know, and growing and working and just kind of keeping his mouth shut and working hard. And guys like that tend to get your attention in a positive way.
You said he can play center. He played tackle at Lehigh. I mean, do you see him as being an option for you? Should you need that here? I mean, not a long-term fix, obviously, because he's going to be a guard.
He can, yes. No, in an emergency, he could, but we think his best football is going to be inside. He's smart and he's athletic.
You had a guy, Dennis Norman, a couple years ago that was a center guard and even played tackle against Mario Williams one time. So.
Yeah,
and
played well.
Yeah.
He did.
So to have a guy, the versatility is so important because it's the game day 45 that we talk about so much.
It is, although we, more so than ever, as much as we like to cross-train people, we are really trying to hone in and settle on our first five as quickly as possible so they can just continue to grow and build together that cohesiveness that you want out of your offensive line. So we've really made a concerted effort to leave guys in one spot and let them fight over it.
All right. The one guy that we've talked about on this show being your swing guy a lot of different spots is Kevin Haslam. He's on injured reserve from the knee injury the other night. Do you have a candidate who can swing all across the line, who can do those things for you like Haslam was trying to develop into?
Well, not that he was at an elite level, but probably not in terms of, you know, guard, tackle, tight end, all the different things we were trying to, you know, get him to do.
Right.
So not probably one guy in terms of that. Not that he was doing it at a Pro Bowl level or anything.
No, no.
But, you know, that some
but
of that.
But if you watch the practice field, that's what you saw.
Some of that flexibility that he brought, we don't really have in another guy.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6355. Want another break? More to come. Head coach Jack Del Rio in studio this evening for the Jack Del Rio Show here on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. We're sitting in here going through the roster, talking about a bunch of different positions. Let's talk about your linebackers, coach. Clint Session and Paul Posluszny added to the mix last Thursday. You know the position intimately. How are they coming along? How steep is the learning curve? Or, you know, does their time in the league help level that out somewhat?
Levels it out a lot. And they're good football players, so Mark Duffner just became a much better linebacker coach.
That's how it works.
Mel Tucker just became a much better defensive coordinator. And I became a head coach that all of a sudden remembers what good defense looks
like.
Yeah. So
Yes. Plus, Lesney, just, I mean, wow, does he look like a middle linebacker? I mean, if you were going to, big guy, what? Someone told me he had ridiculously low body fat. I mean, this is
he
guy,
does.
Like 7 or 8%.
He's ripped. He's ripped. He's very, very focused, very intense, and he's got some twitch. I mean, I'm talking about quick twitch in terms of closing on ball carriers. And, no, it's going to be fun. We added two really good football players, I believe a really good football player in his own right now is Darryl Smith, and I think the three of them form a heck of a core.
Back to Plessisley for just a moment. Noticed him last week. Always around the ball. I mean, always in your 9-on-7 running drills. I mean, just he was always right there in the ball. And Session showed explosive.
Yeah, he's movement. Explosive and stays square and packs a punch. And, you know, yeah, those guys are good football players. And, you know, you plug them in right away, and they're not totally up to speed with what we do yet, but they understand football at this level. They understand how offenses are trying to attack you, and they understand finishing on the ball.
Right.
And, you know, good linebackers are always going to be around the ball, and we've got three guys that are going to be around the ball a lot.
Well, and Session made the comment that, boy, he has never played behind the kind of beef that he's going to play it here when you get Terrence back on the field.
Well, we're trying to get some of that beef down right now.
Yeah, a little leaner beef.
Yeah.
And to have Tyson, you know, in front of him. Boy, to have guys like that makes your linebackers even that much better.
Well, it all goes hand in hand. You know, when Ray Lewis has been at his best in Baltimore, he's had, you know.
Big guys.
Yeah. Tony Siragusa, Sam Adams, when I was there as a linebacker coach, and then now.
Haloti Ngata.
Oh.
And he's a beast.
He's tremendous. So, you know, look, good linebacker play, you know, typically has good line play in front of it.
How about some of the guys who are rotating around behind it? You know, Russell Allen's a guy who's been around here a little bit. Does he have a role on your football team, or is he fighting?
He's fighting.
Okay.
I think they're all fighting. I don't think anybody's really emerged, you know, in the backup. In the backup role, like as a lock and a sure thing. I think, you know, Russell's got a leg up on everybody. He's got more experience. He's been solid on special teams. But I don't think, really, you know, just being quite honest here, I don't really think that anybody in the backup group has been, you know, on a consistent basis just lights out. I think they've all been okay, and they've all had days where they weren't so okay. And so that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
How about some of the guys that you brought into the defensive secondary, and in particular, Dwan Landry? Boy, does he close on the ball fast.
Yeah, no, we're excited about what we're able to do at the second level, the third level of our defense with Dwan at safety, with the drafting of Chris Brzezinski, who's on the shelf right now rehabbing his hammy, but he showed some flashes. And then obviously we get Courtney Green back, and then, you know, to add a corner like Drew Coleman and then have guys like, you know, Wheatley stepping up. You know, we didn't get much of a look at him last year, but he's got some awareness and some quicks. And the guys that we had, you know, that were playing last year, they're coming back with David Jones and Middleton and those guys and Rod Isaac all getting an opportunity right now. So there's a deep group of competition, and we've got the first three we know we can win with, and then we've got a bunch of guys battling for those backup spots.
I know Rasheen Mathis has caught your eye, and he's impressed a lot of bystanders with the kind of camp that he's having this year. What do you see from him?
He's taken on a stronger leadership role. I think the lockout, one of the benefits that we have experienced is guys like Rasheen, guys like Aaron Campman, really taking a leadership role and then backing up their words with their actions. And, of course, that always makes for the best leader is when you back up, you know, and do some of the things that you want to see done by others, and they're leading the way in doing that. And Rasheen's been as good as I can remember in a number of years in terms of competitive in drills, tight coverage, finishing, came into camp in good shape. And not that he is ever in bad shape, but
sure,
there's a fine line between the elite type of shape you have to be in to function at the highest level and just being in, you know, good shape. And I think he's a notch better than he's been in a while.
All that laid on the table. He's also going into the last year of his contract. And as a coach,
sure,
you get a guy who's really motivated to show you.
That's right.
That he's capable of playing.
That's right. No, that's right. And that's, you know, that's the best way to approach it. And with the market and all the monies that are out there, you know, it
would be very motivating.
Yeah, it'd be a good thing to be a player and to be on top of your game heading into a contract year.
And Derek Cox has struggled a bit with the calf. He's a guy who struggled a bit last year, got in, made some plays later in the season.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Good. He's on the mend. He should be back when we get back from New England and rejoin us next week. And his mind's in a good place. He's working hard, trying to get himself back. And he should be a good player for us this year.
Give us one more segment before we head to practice.
You got it. Quick one.
One more segment with the head coach, and we'll take that right after this. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. About 5 minutes with head coach Jack Del Rio. If you'd like to join us on the show this evening, 355-NFL-1. Don't forget, Thursday evening, 4:30 for those of you here in Northeast Florida listening to WOKV for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Set of pregame show picks up the entire network starting at 6:30, kickoff at 7:30 right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Preseason game number one against the New England Patriots. Coach, let's just talk about being a coach in this shortened window. It's different for you guys. I mean, your staff, you've had to approach it completely different. How has that played out on the field at all? I mean, I know you're trying to keep it as regular as possible, but
yeah,
it can't have been.
Well, no, it's been a little different. It's been a different year. And, you know, one of the things I basically talked about this a little bit at the press conference earlier today was, you know, I find myself on occasion, last night was one of those occasions, catching myself saying, okay, have a little patience here. Because I'm about to blow my stack. I mean, I've about had enough because it gets a little ragged. And then I look in and realize that it's an undrafted, you know, rookie free agent linebacker who's hearing it for the first time. We did not have May and June. And, you know, we're not in a mode right now as an organization where, you know, tolerating anything short of excellence is going to be allowed. But I think we have to recognize that these young men are doing the very best they can to get caught up and to give themselves an opportunity to show us what they can do. And so it's going to require some of that patience as we get through with the second and third groups where they have some guys that that don't know. It's different.
So is the fourth quarter going to be more ugly than usual in a preseason game?
I hope it's not,
yeah.
But it could be. And, you know, part of it is we're not slowing down the installation. I mean, we basically have crammed it all in, and we're going to come back and redo it again next week starting with Atlantic week after New England. We'll start over and kind of reinstall again. So hopefully some of the details will begin to be ironed out and they'll start to settle down. And then we can see if they can play or not. And that's really what we're after.
So the view from 10,000 feet is that it's tougher for these undrafted guys to make the roster.
Yes.
Because of the lockout.
Yes,
whereas
it is.
It's a place you've always gone to find two or three guys.
Sure.
You know, Montel Owens comes to mind, where they can make your roster and contribute and grow and develop. That's not as likely this year.
It's not as likely league-wide. However, you know, we're talking about those guys in backup support roles. In terms of front line, I love the way our front lines look. I mean, so I don't want you or anybody else to misunderstand that. I like the way our front lines are working, and but it does require just a little more patience.
How about a thought on special teams? Around here, that standard has been held pretty high.
Yeah.
I think Turk has been struggling a little bit with an injury.
No.
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 Okay.
What?
Thought I heard.
What injury?
No, I just thought I heard he was. How's he doing?
I think that was speculation because we brought in a punter.
Okay.
But there's no injury.
Well, you're always going to bring a couple guys in to compete.
Right.
How's Scobie doing? How you get a couple of guys back? You know, Mike Thomas is back. The young man, Scotty McGee from James Madison, is back after spending last year on IR. How's that rolling out?
Which one?
Either.
Okay.
Any. All. Special teams in general.
Special teams will be strong.
Right.
We emphasize it. We don't just talk it and emphasize it that way, but we actually support our special teams coaches with time to teach, with meeting time, with field time, and then with talent. And we've got, you know, Montel Owens and Kasim Osgood are basically, you know, two special teams Pro Bowl type guys that have both been in the Pro Bowl that lead the unit. And yeah. And so, you know, when you start there with a couple Pro Bowlers that are really professional in everything they do, they're going to set a high standard, and those teams are going to be great for us.
Well, Matt Turk mentioned when he announced that he was coming here that it was pretty clear that those two guys had a lot to do with it.
Sure.
To be able to be a spot punter and put the ball in the hands of guys like that can make things happen. How about the return game? Mike Thomas is obviously a central figure in your offense. Will he remain a figure in special teams, or is that going to be a guy like a Scotty McGee or a receiver, perhaps another one, Cecil Shorts?
Yeah, you know, that's another question that that I was asked earlier this afternoon, and what I said is that we know that Mojo can do it. We know that Mike Thomas can do it. We know that Rasheen can do it, and that's great. But we'd like to find somebody else that's not a frontline starter like that to handle those duties. And if we have to go back to one of those guys, we will. But we'd prefer to move forward and find that guy that can be our returner and not play as prominent a role on offense or defense.
Is McGee potentially that guy? If not, do you have someone on the roster that is?
Once the ball is in his hands, he can be that guy.
Okay.
He just has to catch it cleaner. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. And nobody's working harder at it, and he'll get his opportunities.
How tough is it for you to keep a roster spot for a guy that just does one thing?
It's not tough if he's special.
Okay.
So
he better be special is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. No, you can't. I mean, you know, we have a bunch of guys, as I just named off a few, that can catch it and actually are pretty good with it. So, now you've got to be special if that's going to be your one and only ability.
All right. Before we let you go, you like the preseason in general? I mean, do you enjoy this time of year?
I do like it, and I think it's important that we have it, and I'm glad it didn't change. I think our league has it right now. I believe that four preseason games, you know, the first one, you're not that worried about the veterans. You're getting a good look at the roster. The second and third are more tune-ups, and then the fourth one, you come back and you're finishing that roster evaluation and not wanting to play your frontline guys as much.
Right.
I think it sets up for a very polished brand of football in come September. I think it's really good for our league and it's healthy, and I hope we stay here with this 4-16 format for a long, long time.
Well, for this year, you've got to have it. I mean, you've got to have those four games. But Walt Coleman made an interesting comment when he was here last week, and I know he spent time with your team. But he said to those of us who were in that media briefing over the rules and the points of emphasis that the most important thing from his perspective on the four-game preseason was it gave the officials a chance to work with the coaches and the players on the new rules.
Sure.
So that you got into the season, you didn't have, for instance, you throwing a flag to challenge a play that you can't challenge. With some of the ways that they have changed the, you know, inside the scoring plays.
There's a lot of apprehension about that one. It's like one of those common sense
rules. You can't
challenge
it, yeah.
Well, if you're not gaining an advantage, it's a scoring play. They're gonna review it themselves. So
right.
I'll leave mine tucked in my sock.
Love to see it pulled out. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
All right.
I know you got practice this evening. We'll let you go. We'll take a break and keep rolling right along. That's the head coach, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Brian.
And we're back with more right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, rolling right along. Jaguars practice this evening, and on Tuesday nights in August, we will have a shortened segment with the head coach because he's got to get out there for 7 o'clock start. We'll try to put as much content in the first 40 minutes or so and have a couple of short segments on the backside here to maximize your ability to join with the head coach. Phone number 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. John was waiting down in Green Cove, but we just couldn't quite get there. John, we're going to give you the airwaves anyway. What's on your mind, my friend?
Yes, sir. There was a situation with my wife. She lost her job. She's been season tickets owners for, it was over 9 years. I mean, even went to the Hall of Fame game, and we couldn't do it. And I was a smoker for 40 years, and I was a two-a-pack.
Okay, John, you're losing us here. Can you kind of cut through it and get to the point? Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, the thing is I've quit. Now I'm going to be able to call back and get my season tickets back. And I think this team is going to be a team to look at this year.
There you go.
I really am excited, and I'm glad I've done what I've done. And there's do it too.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you very much. You see, sometimes, folks, we need to kind of push you along a little bit, but John's got a point. This football team, and you could see it in the faces of a lot of people who were in the stands the other night. Joe, did I tell you, when we got off the air about 8:15 on Saturday, and I went down, never had done this before, sat in the stands in the stadium to watch an event. Never been here for a concert or a monster truck jam, never sat in the stands for an event. By the way, those club seats are pretty good down there on the 30-yard line. That's not a gratuitous sales pitch. It's a really nice view.
You ready for this?
If
this was, you know, crazy radio,
yeah,
we'd do the game from the seats one day.
Yeah, it might be fun.
Yeah,
but
be
I was
pretty cool.
I was talking to a lot of the people that were sitting around my wife and my sons, And they were all geeked up. Now, they may be the most fervent Jaguar fans. I don't know. Maybe they were casual in there. But you could see it on the faces of people who were there that they were excited. It's exciting to have a young quarterback, a guy that you can see clearly has talent. It's exciting to see the additions of Paul Posluszny and Clint Session and DeJuan Landry and Drew Coleman. And just listening to what they expect from Jason Spitz, the Bulls product, who's been in the Packers organization for a few years. It's exciting to see quality talent come in and compete. They haven't had that over the last couple of years. They've been adding it slowly and steadily, and now they've got this team right about where they want it. So it's exciting to think about where they might be able to go. We'll see. You got to play them on the field, but it's an exciting time if you're a Jaguars fan. We need a break. We'll take it now and return with more here on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton, Joe Fortunato with you here from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Pulling out some notes as I'm getting ready for the game on Thursday night. And, you know, everyone is looking at these New England Patriots and Bill Belichick for some of the high-profile additions that they've made. They made the trade and grabbed Albert Haynesworth. They made the trade and grabbed Chad Ochocinco. They have signed every defensive lineman. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, they went and got Mark Anderson, who had 12 sacks a few years ago as a rookie with the Bears. He's kind of bounced around and not done a whole lot, but he's a guy with talent. They bring back Gerard Warren, who was with them last year. Andre Carter was a top pick 10 years ago, and 2 years ago had 11 sacks for the Washington Redskins. Last year, in that shift to a 3-4, kind of got lost. I mean, they just, anyone and everyone, but that's really, if you look at Bill Belichick and you look at what he's built there in New England, that's not how they've done it. They've done it, well, first of all, to lay all the cards on the Tom Brady, right? I mean, they wouldn't be as great. They wouldn't. Tom Brady makes them all work. Because what Belichick has done is gotten more from less. I mean, yes, in 2007 they had Randy Moss, and he caught 25 of 50 touchdown passes from Tom Brady, and that really made it work. But, I mean, they went 14-2 last year, and can you name their starting receivers? You can't.
Tom Brady was drafted when?
Sixth round in 2000. Yeah. Now, remember, Belichick didn't want him. They wanted to take some safety in the sixth round, and some scout convinced them that they needed to take this quarterback. So, I mean, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you get lucky. But Tom Brady takes Wes Welker, right? I mean, this is going to seem ridiculous to people because they think of Wes Welker as what he is today, which is a guy who's had 100 or more catches in three of the last four seasons, who, if he has 100 catches this year, joins Marvin Harrison and Jerry Rice as the only two receivers in league history with four 100-catch seasons or more. Remember, Wes Welker was undrafted out of Texas Tech by the San Diego Chargers, who cut him. He went to Miami. He was a nice utility guy. You know, he was no Jose Oquendo, but he was a pretty solid player. I know the baseball reference threw you. But we're talking about a guy who has become a star with Tom Brady. You know, Brandon Tate. Look at the tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez. Hernandez was a nice player on part of Tim Tebow's teams here. And Gronkowski was a nice player, but they weren't all world. And last year, the duo, rookie tight ends, 16 touchdowns. They have made it. Danny Woodhead, Division II power, Shadron State. I mean, they have made a living with guys like Matt Light at left tackle because Tom Brady was so good. Now they're mixing in some star players or guys who had a star, and it's fallen somewhat in an effort to maximize Tom Brady's career here over the next couple of years before he reaches that point where it's time to start signing off.
Which brings me to Freddie.
He's not there.
He is gone?
No, he's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, he's gone. And
I thought he was still on the roster for some reason.
No, the lifespan of a running back is so short. I mean, Corey Dillon came in and gave them a few things there at the end. But the lifespan of a running back, Fred didn't go there until he had 12 years in the league. You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy who was, you know, at the end when they let him go from here. And so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But Haynesworth is a guy who still has massive potential. And Ochocinco is, you know, we saw him a couple of years ago up there, and he torched the Jaguars for 8 catches and 2 touchdowns. And, I mean, he's a guy who can make things happen. And so they may get the most out of him. He may be that Randy Moss kind of guy. We'll see. But the Patriots do it a different way. They do it with guys like Danny Woodhead and Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski, and they come in and they make them stars by fitting them into a system that's built around the quarterback. And that's really what Gene Smith and Terry McDonough have done here in acquiring personnel. They're looking for guys who can become stars. But, you know, when they go and they grab a guy named Cecil Shorts from Mount Union, what do you think they're doing? They've seen something, just like Belichick saw in Wes Welker when he watched him on tape, just like he saw in Danny Woodhead.
But you'd never see Gene go after a Randy Moss or a Ochocinco.
No. Because the mistake just magnifies itself in a small market.
Did
like
they change his name back, too?
No, it's Ochocinco.
I was going back to Johnson.
Yeah, well, it may at some point in the future. All right, we're due for a break. We'll take our final one and come back and wrap the show up right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show again. Jaguars open the preseason. It's upon us. It seems like we just got started, didn't we? Thursday night, for those of you listening in Jacksonville, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show with Culpepper and Marco Coleman and myself, Jeff Lagerman, John Osher, and a cast of thousands. Begins at 4:30. And then for those of you who are listening around the network, we'll pick you up with a set of the pregame show at 6:30. Kickoff is 7:30 from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. The Winn-Dixie postgame show to follow. And then for those of you, again, up here locally, the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show, your chance to share your thoughts on the game. And I, for one, am now going to prepare my blowout material. Not that there will be a blowout in a preseason game, but I'm expecting maybe the fourth quarter to be even uglier than I thought.
Look,
the coach gave us that distinct sense in here this evening that you're going to have guys out there like the linebackers. Scott Lutris, right? Just to throw a name out. He didn't use his name. I'm using his name, but I'm looking at my chart, and I see it, so I grab him first. You know, guy from UConn, undrafted, wasn't here, and now you're going to ask him to play in the fourth quarter. Hopefully he's playing against undrafted rookies who are out there at that time who are equally lost, and maybe that will negate it a little bit.
So no matter which coach you are, you've got the ball on the 8-yard line. You're down 3. 10 seconds left. What are you going to do?
You take a knee. Are you kidding? I mean, nobody wants that. And Belichick certainly. Belichick would fumble it and let someone pick it up and race it back for a touchdown before he would take a preseason game in overtime. I mean, he was the first coach to take all of his starters
and
put him on the sideline. He did that a couple of years ago when we were up there. I want to say it was 04. Where we were up there for a preseason game, and he took all the starters out and set them on the sideline. And all of a sudden, that became the vogue thing for NFL coaches to do. So what can you do? You just go play them, and we're excited to have them here. It's better than the alternative, which during the lockout was not having it at all. So Jaguars and Patriots, the next week we'll have the Falcons here on Wednesday for some practice time, and they'll be here for the Friday night game. Before you know it, the regular season will be upon us. Thanks for joining us for the Jack Del Rio Show this evening. For those of you in Jacksonville, join Cole tomorrow for Jaguars This Week at 6 o'clock. And we'll talk to you on Thursday from Foxborough. Good night, everybody.